Welcome to Ad Exchanger Talks, the podcast devoted to examining the issues and trends in advertising and marketing technology that matter most to you.
This episode is sponsored by mParticle. mParticle believes that better data results in better decisions and better outcomes. mParticle can cleanse, visualize, and connect your customer data from any source or system to any API. Postmates, NBC Universal, Spotify, and Airbnb use mParticle to accelerate their customer data strategies. Visit mParticle.com to learn more.
This is Allison Schiff, Managing Editor of AdExchanger, and today we return to an important theme we dove into deeply late last year on the show, and that's cross-platform measurement with an emphasis on TV and video. We've spoken to the CEOs of Nielsen, Comscore, and VideoAmp about the tectonic shifts that have been happening in the TV measurement space over the past 6 months. And on this episode, we're going to hear from someone in the weeds who's directly involved in shepherding a major programmer from reliance on traditional panel-based measurement to a new approach that involves a more expansive portfolio of measurement solutions. Andrea Zapata is head of research data and insights for Warner Media Ad Sales. She joined Warner Media in August, just a hot second before Nielsen lost its MRC seal for national and local TV ratings, and so she's had to hit the ground running. Through a discovery process this autumn, Zapata and her team created a short list of partners to test alternative measures of TV ad performance. iSpot, VideoAmp, and Comscore made the cut. We'll talk about why and what else Warner Media has planned on the road to better, more effective, more accurate cross-platform measurement. But first, I'll take a brief sec to talk about AdExchanger's upcoming industry preview event, which is set to take place on a new date, Tuesday, February 22nd, 2022, at the Time Center in New York City. Join us in person to learn more about what to expect in the year ahead in data-driven digital media and marketing. We'll have executives from all the big names, including Meta and Google, Nielsen, MasterCard, Kroger, Snowflake, Walgreens, Beam Suntory. We'll have the economist Hal Singer, and we'll also have the CEO of Hearts and Science, and more. It's a really good agenda, I have to say. So visit adexchanger.com/upcoming events to learn more and request your invitation. Hey, Andrea, welcome to the podcast.
Hi, Allison. Thanks for having me.
So I want to hark back to a time long ago. It was March 2020. Like what a super weird time. And back then, you were at Comcast, and as a kind of royal we, but my colleague interviewed you. It was really early on during the pandemic. We had no idea how long it was going to last, or at least I had no idea. I was very naive about it. But anyway, when we talked to you about what it was like to be a busy executive at the time. We were doing a lot of kind of Q&As and really like personal back and forth things to get a sense of, you know, just how people were dealing with all of this. You were talking about how you're a mom of two young boys. They were both at home, and you know, it was challenging, but you were dealing with it. And so, you know, some of the questions that we asked you, I want to just ask again, basically, like, how are you doing? And, you know, how have the last 2 years been as, you know, still a busy executive in a different job and still a mom of two young boys, I think 7 and 9 now?
7 and 9. Yeah, that's perfect. They were such babies then. Still babies, still delicious ages of 7 and 9. But yes, that was the early days. That was when we were all really uncertain about what was in front of us. But we knew that we were taking a pause. And the idea of working from home for a couple of weeks, maybe a month or two, was sort of in our mind frame. And, you know, doing daily stand-ups and using, you know, at that time Teams and WebEx and Zoom, and really being human about the impact that the world was having on all of us. Like that, like as soon as you say that, I'm like, oh my gosh, I remember being on the Upper West Side with my boys. You know, my husband, who was running West Coast businesses, you know, we were sort of splitting up the days. And I mean, here we are, Allison, 2 years later, and we're still in our homes. We're still doing work remotely. Yeah. And we're still looking to figure out how to sustain balance. A lot has changed. I think specifically from where I sit, I will say we were living in the Upper West Side in a two-bedroom apartment that we loved, had been there for 17 years. We moved to the West Coast to where, you know, 70 degrees, lemon trees, and an ocean exist. We live in LA now. And, you know, life is pretty good, but this is still navigating. I would say that, you know, we're still from a workplace perspective doing remote in a big way.
So I was going to ask you if your quarantine workout routine, well, we're not in quarantine anymore, if it's still the same, but I think you used to go running in Central Park. So it's probably different now since you're in LA.
It's a little different. You know, I got to say, in LA, where every day is literally pristine and gorgeous. I got a Peloton. I mean, it is what it is, right? I totally leaned into. I mean, why don't we just check a few boxes? You know, we moved cross country. We got a Peloton. We have a pet now. I mean, all the things. We checked some boxes. But
I approve of the pet.
Thank you.
I mean, I know we should start talking about WarnerMedia and alternative measurement, but I do need to know a little bit about your pet because I love pets. Cat, dog, and name, please.
Yeah, so we have a dog. Her name is Ella. She's a Belgian Malinois. Like I said, my husband was military for 10 years. He was actually a Navy SEAL. And these dogs were military dogs. He's very familiar with them. Very alert, very smart, very, very fun, active dog. But really at her heart, she's like the cuddliest thing ever. And I have two boys, so she's a girl. She's like my furry daughter.
I mean, I have a cat and I consider her my furry daughter, but I don't have children. And my mother is like, yeah, your cat's cute, but let's get started.
Okay, let's do it. Let's do it.
So you are the head of research data and insights for WarnerMedia Ad Sales, which pretty much means you oversee research for WarnerMedia's entire portfolio of brands across linear and digital. I believe you do market intelligence, you gather client insights, you also do some outcome-based research for advertisers. So just take me through like a day in the life of, you know, head of research data and insights for a large broadcaster. And just in a nutshell.
Sure, in a nutshell. So you got it right. I do head up ad sales research for WarnerMedia in the sense of our lane is strictly in monetization. So thinking about not just how we reach people, so how many people do we reach in any given time across our portfolio of offering, be it, you know, our entertainment, our kids networks, anything that's in the land of streaming. It's really thinking about how are we using our mix of inventory, content offering, and scale in a way that does right by our advertisers' investments. So in any given day, and you know, we'll get to some of the things that are taking up a bit of time, but in any given day, it's truly answering the questions that our clients have on how WarnerMedia is helping them get to their objectives. And you know, I say that it's a real privilege to sit at WarnerMedia, especially in this moment in time where the marketplace is moving incredibly fast. And I'm a true student of the advertising game. I really love understanding not only how do we drive revenue, but how do we demonstrate the value of it in a way that maybe, because again, this is our house, the WarnerMedia house, where we have a very strong mission of moving the world through story, which sounds really like puppies and rainbows and kittens and things, but it's a powerful asset when it comes to then thinking about the audiences that we scale against and how do we derive the right value, not only on behalf of the WarnerMedia offering, but then also, again, always hearkening back to how do we care for the advertiser within that experience. So I have a large team based in New York. Also, because this is work from home, we've really diversified our work force. We have a person in Park City, Utah, right? We've got some, I'm now in LA, we're all over the place. So making sure that we're being really specific to our task at hand, which is again, focused on monetization, and then thinking about not just the content that we deliver, but then the campaign metrics that are important to our clients. how are we finding better ways to measure it, to demonstrate outcome, and really push not only our WarnerMedia house to better and higher metrics, but then also the marketplace. Being a student of the advertising game, I know that this, we don't typically move very fast, but again, going back to where we sit from a place of privilege, there's not many big publishers that can move a marketplace the way that WarnerMedia can. And the relationships that we have in the marketplace are bar none, like best in class. And, you know, that's really a testament to our ad sales team and the trust that they've built. So, you know, sitting where I do, I take that responsibility quite highly, and I want to make sure that we are indeed doing our job in making sure that WarnerMedia's consultative approach on maximizing revenue while also delivering for our clients is something that we're constantly focused on.
I mean, first, I will say that there's nothing wrong with puppies, rainbows, and kittens. Like, I just want to say that definitively.
Love it.
But also, I mean, as a large entity, things might move slowly, but I feel like, you know, everyone in the industry is sort of rising to meet the moment. And often, you know, how do things happen slowly, but then all at once? Because, you know, going back to the pandemic, as we were talking about at the start of the podcast, you know, a lot of people had to figure out how to deal with changes. And, you know, it feels like Nielsen as well was trying to figure out how to deal with changes and wasn't totally successful in that. And, you know, their issues during the height of the pandemic was almost like a lightning rod for advertisers and broadcasters alike. But, I mean, do you think all of this activity related to alternative currencies and, you know, a lot of what, you know, you're focused on right now, it's taking up a lot of your time, would it have happened anyway, even without Nielsen kind of falling off its perch? Or do you think we would have just kept going, complaining, but, you know, just doing the status quo for kind of quite some time?
Yeah, so that's a really compelling question. I sort of joke, right? August was a really hard month for Nielsen because that's when everything sort of came to head, when the MRC stripped their accreditation for undercounting essentially national TV viewership. Now, Allison, I actually started at WarnerMedia as the head of research for monetization or ad sales in August. So I actually spent the previous year running an ad sales team, and then I think the years prior to that, I want to be pretty clear, I guess, actually, working with either first-party data, set-top box, or on the digital side, right? So Nielsen, while I believe strongly, had always been sort of a pain on, I don't know, they've always had a challenge with counting appropriately. I know that the industry as a whole has been pushing for better ways. And so, yes, I do think that collectively as an industry, we have been talking a lot about how do we count better? How do we push Nielsen not only to show up and count better on behalf of all of us, but how do we now start thinking about not just linear and television, but how do we move outside of that frame, outside of that scope, to start counting across screens, deduping, getting outside of a blunt demographic measure and really thinking about audience segments, using first-party data, using big data to inform. There's a lot of things that have happened where, again, Nielsen has struggled to keep up. And so, while yes, I think that for a long time we've been talking about it, that month of August was really truly a moment in time where I think collectively we said, enough is enough. And how do we not only say enough is enough, like MRC, you're doing exactly what you're supposed to do by auditing and holding a high bar and, again, speaking on behalf of all of us. But then also, how do we make sure that we're not just using one yardstick? And so when I say I started in August, I never in a million years thought that a major initiative would be alternative measurement in that moment. I thought I had come to Warner because, wow, look at our gorgeous IP, right? Our beautiful brands and content, the scale that we have, the ability to start moving to more data-driven approaches, audience-based approaches, and ultimately demonstrate outcome. And being really in the land of digital or big data in the past, I'd say 8 to 10 years, I knew how limiting Nielsen was. When you have your own data, or when you are in control essentially of how understanding how your users use or how your viewers navigate your content across screens, then you're really in a place where, one, it's quite freeing because the very basic measures that a Nielsen might count no longer really pertain to you, but also you can demonstrate value in different ways. So Nielsen, having that moment in time, us as a collective industry coming together and saying, you know, one, let's start thinking about what better could look like. And then also let's start thinking about what's still important to us, right? So, you know, I think at that moment, panel-only solutions, we understood it to be insufficient to measure where we are and where we're headed. Obviously, the undercounting that Nielsen did across national TV viewership was really a big deal. Right now, we have an out-of-home situation, which is not just specific to WarnerMedia, but again, industry-wide. And the market has been moving towards more data-driven advertising. So that plus the fact that we've seen great changes in consumer habits. So the shift from linear to connected television and over the top plus mobile, it became an opportunity to say, how do we want to count? How do we truly want to solve for this? And is there anybody out there who thinks they might want to step up to the plate, right? And while we don't want to solve for everything right away, we've got to start learning and doing a discovery process so we're not just beholden to, again, that one yardstick.
Right. So yes, August, it got very hot and you got very busy right away. And then just last month, WarnerMedia Ad Sales chose 3 new measurement partners to help test alternative methods for measuring across platforms, TV ad performance across platforms. And so the winners were iSpot, VideoAmp, and ComScore. So I want to talk about why those 3 in a sec, but how many companies did you look at through your process?
Yeah, so we were very specific about what it is that we wanted to learn when it came to counting, right? So there are only a handful of potential vendors out there who have established themselves or put the right investments in being able to do something as lofty as currency. Like, measurement's one thing, currency and transaction is a whole other thing, right? And so we had a little more than a handful initially on our list, and we took the month of September, October, November to truly vet. Now, we had a set of criteria that was really important to us. We call them building blocks that we wanted to consider when we were vetting and going through our discovery process for alternative measurement partners. Building blocks being fundamental and foundational to how you count, or how at least the media industry has counted in the past. While we didn't want to reinvent Nielsen, as in like Nielsen actually is quite good at what it does when it comes to ratings and understanding from a panel base how to project to demographics, it does obviously have its gaps, or else we wouldn't be having this conversation right now. The building blocks that were important to us is how are they collecting linear viewership sources, right? So ACR, set-top box, was it commingled? Was it calibrated? We wanted to understand how they were weighting for various variables and sources. We wanted to also understand how were they using not just calibration and validation for UEs, but also how are they thinking about measuring reach frequency across screens? Were they capturing not just live viewership, but also capturing DVR, anything that was in a streaming environment? There were many things that were really important to us, along with, you know, again, it goes back to panels, right? Like, so yes, it's important to think about a demo, and you can get advanced audience segments from Experian and Epsilon and the like. But how are they thinking about incorporating a panel to help, again, inform and get us to a source of truth and sort of a validation source? So there were, again, a lot of different ways that we thought about this and thinking about when would the industry even be ready to have a conversation, not just on alternative measurement, but again, thinking about currency and transaction. So while we were building up a framework of our criteria for what would be necessary in us even considering an alternative measurement partner, we also went on a listening tour across the agencies to make sure that we were capturing what it was important to them, how they were prioritizing, what they thought was important as we thought about alternative measurement solutions that again could at some point in time be considered for transaction purposes. And it was a pretty I'd say heavy and hefty lift, but again, it goes back to the responsibility at hand. When we picked the iSpot, the video and the ComScore, they checked the boxes when it came to not again solving for all of our building blocks, but at least having a roadmap where we felt confident that they were at least caring for the things that were really important to us at WarnerMedia, but then also what we had heard from our agency partners out in the marketplace. So again, starting with reach frequency, deduping across screen for advanced audiences, and considering panel versus, you know, again, census level or Experian and things like that, it gets tricky. This is a lofty task, a big, big lift for not just WarnerMedia, but for the industry. So it took a lot of care and consideration as we were going out and vetting. So I can talk a little bit more about why iSpot Video Up and ComScore, but hopefully that gives you a sense of the foundation that we were looking to build off of as we went in search of an alternative currency.
Definitely. And it clearly was about not just, you know, dealing with needs for today, but also trying to take a forward, you know, kind of facing perspective and try to, you know, think about what you might need for the future also, because, you know, consumption is changing now, but there's nothing to say that it won't continue to change. And I would like to talk about why iSpot, ComScore, and Video App in a second, but we're just going to hit a little break, so stick with us.
I'm AdExchanger Executive Editor Sarah Sluice, and I'm here with Michael Katz, CEO of mParticle, our sponsor this month. Welcome, Michael.
Thanks for having me.
Michael, what's the role of a CDP, or customer data platform, in a modern marketing tech stack?
Our job is to help our customers accelerate time to data value. So the value that we unlock for our customers materializes only once data leaves the system. The question that teams inside our customer orgs have to address is ultimately how to maintain data trust as they scale their personalization strategies in the face of an ever-changing digital landscape. Since those changes create friction and inhibit success, they first have to think about adaptability before they start thinking about activation.
So let's talk more about this data point. What types of insights are CDP users able to gain from these platforms?
Types of insights that our customers look for mParticle to provide is really around the quality of data, the reliability and integrity of data. They want to understand the customer context in terms of where the meaningful moments are within the customer journey. Tie that all together to create a coherent and holistic customer data strategy, and then execute that by connecting their customer data to the different tools and systems that they use to run and grow their businesses.
How does mParticle approach this market to deliver value to customers?
At mParticle, we're focused on helping our customers navigate three core challenges. The first is maintaining and improving data quality. The second is having a layer of data governance, so being able to create rules around what data goes to what system to adhere to various privacy and regulatory concerns. And then the final piece is connectivity, making it really easy to connect data from wherever it may be created or reside to wherever they want to get it to, any system, API, or data destination.
Thank you, Michael.
Thank you.
Okay, and we're back. So as promised, let's do mini deep dives into iSpot, VideoAmp, and ComScore, and let's start with iSpot because, you know, others have also glommed onto iSpot as, you know, a measurement partner that really works for them, like NBC. So yeah, why did iSpot appeal to you?
Yeah, so iSpot is interesting to us. They have been a leader in real-time cross-platform TV ad measurement and attribution for a while. When I say real-time, that is a real big plus for us as we think about how we can not just forecast and plan, but then ultimately target and optimize against an audience segment in, again, real time, right? Because that is not only important to us, but it's important to our advertisers. They also measure business impact and brand impact of television advertising. They had been a longstanding partner of WarnerMedia prior to me joining and really had been impressed with the good work that they have done. They also are able to measure. So the cross screen is important because it goes back to that deduping of linear television to then, I mean, the world that is growing so much, which is CTV, right? And so as we think about our HBO Max with ads, the land of streaming as it is now, how we're thinking about all of our content that's being consumed across all of our endpoints outside of our core foundational linear business, getting to that only both, they've already got that down. Like they're kind of, they've been exploring and pioneering that for a while. So they at least checked a box for us when it came to that deduping across screens. When you think about the building blocks that I had talked about earlier. And because they harness ACR data, there is also the ability for it to be much more timely so we can actionize against it. I'll actually go next to VideoAmp because there's also a lot of buzz and talk about them too. And what was really great about VideoAmp is that while yes, they provide measurement and they optimize across, again, unifying of audiences, against traditional television, streaming video, and digital media, they also are looking at this through a lens that takes into care forecasting, which is, again, really important as we think about all the ways in which the campaign cycle goes through. Like there's the forecasting slash planning, there's deciding on a target, there's optimizing across that target, there's then reporting on did you reach that target and how many times the reach frequency. And then there's the measurement component followed all by can we then transact, right? Using this methodology. And so they're checking the box across the forecasting part was really important. They also also license the set-top box and the ACR data. And we like the way that they're thinking about calibrating. They're new. They don't have everything figured out, but they have a huge investment. I think they're in what, Series H?
They're deeply in the alphabet.
Yeah. There you go. They're deeply in the alphabet. There you go. And how they're thinking about placing the investment. When we were talking to these partners, it wasn't like we were just talking to their sales lead or their head of research, although very important that we do that. We were also talking to their head of data science, their head of product, and we're making, and also like where we could, understanding where the investments, so like their CROs, right? Where are you placing your investments? This is what we think is important. We think you're on the right track. When do you plan on solving for panel or calibration to X, Y, and Z? And VideoAmp was very thoughtful and very open, and they listened to us. And again, that's part of the journey. We're not looking for everybody to have, to be able to count for all things right now, because this is indeed a journey and this is exploration. We want to have confidence at the end of this that we can count the things that we need to in order to transact in a way that is still similar to now. But again, it's about advancing the marketplace. So we really liked what VideoAmp was doing across the board and how they're thinking about their product roadmap. And then Comscore. Comscore is, they're the OG when it comes to using big data, using real-time data to help inform the marketplace and across the board for television measurement and campaign. And for us, having a trusted partner in the industry, again, for planning, transacting, and evaluating media across platforms is really important. We have utilized Comscore in the past, especially for our data-driven linear products. We had announced previous to me joining that we were going to be going into beta with them for national addressable. They are still the only measurement company out there that has a viable product for national addressable. And so it seemed like a natural extension for us to really consider and look at how we could make them a bigger partner in our alternative measurement initiative. So we really do appreciate how they think about not just counting, but also how they're thinking about across linear and digital, but how they're caring for more advanced advertising offerings in the marketplace, specifically national addressable, which is, you know, precision, the promise of precision and data to our linear inventory.
I just have to share this really stupid thought that I've had. Sometimes when I think of Comscore and Nielsen or any two like really big competitors, I think of them as like sharks and jets, you know, like the gangs in West Side Story.
Yep.
I don't know. It's just where my mind goes. But you were talking before the break about, you know, Nielsen being, you know, a little bit, you know, limited right now, even though it is still really a cornerstone. And I'm just curious if you considered, you know, Nielsen as part of this process. You know, you alighted on Comscore and iSpot and VideoAmp. But I know, for example, that NBCU like hasn't counted Nielsen out, or, you know, at least they said that Nielsen was one of the first companies to respond to, you know, their measurement RFP. And I do believe Nielsen is still Warner Media's largest measurement partner. But I've also, you know, read you quoted in other industry pubs, you know, saying that Nielsen won their cross-platform metric play just is like, quote unquote, not there yet. So yeah, I mean, I know you talked about Nielsen already, but just to put a finer point on it, like, what is the role that they're going to play for you? Or do you not know now that things are getting shaken up?
Yeah. So Allison, here's the deal. Nielsen's not going away. And Nielsen is, yes, by far the largest partner that Warner Media has when it comes to counting. And I think I've said before, they have our past, they have our business as usual, and they will earn a place in our future. The reason why they aren't part of the list here is, well, one, we're pretty familiar with what Nielsen has. I mean, again, when I think about just from an investment perspective, it's the largest line item that Warner Media has from a measurement perspective. Two, we again, caring for advanced audiences, thinking about deduping across screen, thinking about how do we want to care for national addressable. We know that they're on their way. Nielsen One is a thing. And they're putting less emphasis on panel, more emphasis on big data. They're being very smart, I think, about their approach on how they're going to start measuring video, full stop. But they're not there yet. And that's really the it of it. And so until they have more to show us outside of a PowerPoint deck with some pretty lofty ambitions, right? But something that we can really test, I think that's when we'll become, again, more leaned in with Nielsen. But at the same time, we're not going to wait. It wouldn't be prudent to wait. And so with iSpot and Comscore and VideoAmp and a slew of others who are literally stepping up to the table and having a conversation with us about this is what we can do now. This is our product roadmap for 22. Don't keep us to it. It's okay. We're not going to, but at least we know that we're thinking the same way. Then that's a partnership. And I think with Nielsen, the partnership is not as close as it once was. And again, it goes back to some of the challenges that we've had with undercounting of television viewership, the issue that we're having now with out of home, and the fact that they don't have anything viable to show us from a national addressable perspective, but also from a deduping across screens in an advanced audience way that makes us feel really confident. Is that a fine enough point?
That is a finer point. Yeah, I mean, it's the reality, and you know, it's sort of like, I don't know. I know I made a weird West Side Story reference. Now it kind of feels a little bit like Nielsen is maybe, you know, that boyfriend you really want to change and like you think he's going to change and you give him a lot of time to change. And then you're kind of like, I have to move on, or I at the very least have to test out some other options. So let's talk about, you know, what that test might be like. I mean, is there anything you can say about like which clients are going to participate in the test and learn process with the newly minted measurement partners? Like anything you can say about how that process is going for selecting them?
Yeah, so we're moving as fast as we can while still being really thoughtful and considerate about the fact that this is a lofty ambition, you know, alternative measurement. And so we, during the fourth quarter of 21, we did the vetting on the building blocks. We had the right conversations with the potential partners, but then we also did that listening tour, like I said. So right now, as we've selected our partners, we are now regrouping with the agency. I call them the heads of state, right? But making sure that one, we find the right kinds of clients, those who are leaned into testing and learning in a different way. But if you remember, if we go back to sort of the premise of what we're looking to do with alternative measurement, it's beyond just the demo play. It's not just a person's 25 to 54. And I will say, television is still like is best in class. You would be hard pressed to find anything better than television to reach a large audience in a short window of time in a simultaneous fashion than television, right? And so making sure that we are still considered for what we've always been considered for, which is that reach, that high reach play, is still vitally important to our mix and to how we go to market. But most brands who come to a publisher like WarnerMedia they already know how to sort of activate in that realm. Right now, we're looking to make sure that we're pushing the industry to think about video or television. You know, television is greater than television at this point, right? But thinking about how to diversify their investment across a media mix that gets them further down the funnel. So yes, we reached a lot of people in a short window of time, but you know, persons 25 to 54 isn't quite going to get us past brand recognition, likability, and consideration. Really, we need to start getting into the world of activity and behavior search and the like, and eventually get us to that land of conversion across all of our inventory. So in this POC, finding the right kinds of brands who have various KPIs where they're willing to utilize WarnerMedia's portfolio of assets to not just get at brand resonance, but to then get to consideration down to conversion, which in this POC is really counting against an audience segment outside of persons 25 to 54. So maybe like an auto intender, right? Where we'll still be accountable for demonstrating outcome or lift through that funnel. We want to make sure that we're moving an advertiser down through a funnel in a way that maybe they hadn't considered us in the past. So it's more like a reconditioning of a brand's investment and making recommendations that will yield better outcome in the end. And so again, in order for us to truly test and learn, we need an advertiser who wants to truly place their dollars in a cross-platform environment. So yes, linear. Let's break up the day part, right? Let's not just be so specific on a program. Mm-hmm. Let's not be beholden to a rating, right? Let's really think proactively around an audience segment, a customer segment, and then let's think about reaching them where they're watching in live, in our VOD environment, in our streaming environment. So that way we can really push this measurement POC to a place where we're not just doing what we've always done, but we're really deduping an audience segment across screens in a way that hasn't been done before. So that way there's real value on how to then push the marketplace even beyond the counting metrics. So TBD, by the end of first quarter, we will be live with live brands, live campaigns, testing with Comscore VideoAmp and iSpot with the goal to actually share our learnings by the end, before the upfront, the 22 upfront, at least directionally. So that way we feel with confidence that we're making some movement and we've actionized against what we said we would do.
So the upfronts, I mean, can you say how much inventory you might be setting aside, you know, during the upfronts for this kind of measurement and buying?
So still early days. As we're thinking about the amount of inventory that we want to allocate, but it's one thing for WarnerMedia to say, here's a discrete portion of our inventory that we're going to set aside for alternative currency, but it's really also up to the holdcos, right? So we've heard from some who've said, you know, these six clients will absolutely be part of your alternative measurement POC. And of their investments, a portion will be transacted off of an alternative currency. Okay, so that means that gives us a good sense for planning, right? We know how much they've spent historically. We want to make sure that their investments are allocated appropriately. And then the media mix and the measurement that we're applying makes sense, right? So again, at this point, I can't say for sure how much of our inventory will go that way. But at the end of the day, everything's being held to more accountability. I mean, when it comes to media investments, you know, we sit in a special place because of the power of our reach and our IP, and the ways in which viewers can consume our content across any screen. So it's up to us to continue to push the marketplace to what I think is better practice, or setting a higher bar as to how we actually reach customers and then showing that it worked. So it's gonna be a learned process, that's for sure.
And changing gears, I don't think there's much you can say. It's a little bit under wraps, but I do have to ask about the pending merger with Discovery that I think is now set for next quarter, which is just so soon. So how will the merger impact all of the work that you've been doing on the measurement front, if at all?
I don't know, Allison. I mean, I think that's what's so interesting about this moment in time. I can't comment on anything because I don't know. I mean, full transparency, I don't know what's going to happen. What I would say is that right now we have a responsibility to run not only a business, but I'd say change the game of advertising, right? Like on our watch, we're going to continue to innovate and pioneer better ways. WarnerMedia has a history of having done that for a long time now. And where I sit in the world of measurement, you know, I don't take that lightly. So for right now, we are going to push. And I joke, but I say, you know, there's a blueprint here. We have set not just the experimental design on how we believe we should start thinking about alternative measurement and currency, but there's going to be a fast follow. And because, right, we're already in February and we're going to continue to march forward towards the upfront, there's another initiative on outcomes, because reach frequency is only one part of the equation. I say a lot that, you know, there's the counting side of the house and then there's the effectiveness side of the house. And those two things are inherently linked. And right now we're hyper-focused just on the counting. And it's absolutely foundational to measurement. But really the fun part, the more interesting part, is in that outcome. Did we work, right? Did we actually do what we said we would do when it came to resonance consideration and conversion? And that's the second part of this. So I don't have an answer for you as to what's going to happen in the next 3 or 6 months. But I do know what we're hyper-focused on now. And I couldn't be more excited about it.
No, fair enough. And well, to bring us home, this is sort of a played out question, but I'm really curious because you work at WarnerMedia and you're just around good content all the time. So what are you watching right now and would you recommend it?
Oh my gosh. I mean, so the Sex Lives of College Girls, like, funny and so important and so good, right? I don't know if you've watched it, Allison, but I would highly recommend it. Yes, there is the Sex and the City reboot. And while you can't see me, I love a good outfit. Okay. One, there's a nostalgia. Two, like, I'm from Indiana originally. I moved to New York in the early 2000s. And like that show just really like spoke to my very being of like anything's possible. And the fashion and the city of New York is so intertwined in it. So while I know it's, you know, there's, it's, people are like, they're resonating with it in different ways for me personally. Like, I can't get enough of it. So I don't know. Are you watching anything that you're absolutely loving right now?
I'm on a kind of, this is so cliche, I'm on a true crime on Netflix kick. So I've been watching a lot of like 4 to 5 part, documentary series about Times Square killer and the Hillside Strangler. And that's how I've been spending my time.
Oh my
Yours are more fun.
They are. They're a bit more pithy. And I but that's like, I mean, everybody uses television for like what they need at the moment, right? I need a little pith. I need a little pithy. You need a little bit of like, I don't know, scare me.
I know this is really horrible. And there's actually an SNL like jokey song about it. I think it has one of the Jonas Brothers in it, but yeah, it's all the female cast members of SNL getting all excited when their boyfriends leave for the night to go hang out with friends or something, so they can just like watch murder shows on Netflix, but while multitasking, like while folding the laundry, while, you know, checking their balance on the Chase app, or, you know, while looking at pictures of their cute nephew, or like, you know, chatting with someone on text, but in the background there are these like heinous crimes playing out on the screen. So I knit. I've been knitting a scarf for my mom's friend while watching about Richard Ramirez.
So. I love it. It's so funny because as you're saying all of that, I'm like, see, just put in Sex and the City or The Bachelorette. Do not judge me, right? While I'm folding clothes and doing all the things, because again, it goes back to like, what do you really want to watch and do in your spare time? The things you have to and the things that you just want to like be escaped from.
Absolutely. I don't know what it says about me that my escape is...
No judgment. But no judgment.
No judgment zone. Andrea, thank you for joining us. This was really illuminating.
Thanks, Allison. I really appreciate the time, truly.
This episode was sponsored by mParticle. mParticle believes that better data results in better decisions and better outcomes. mParticle can cleanse, visualize, and connect your customer data from any source or system to any API. Postmates, NBC Universal, Spotify, and Airbnb use mParticle to accelerate their customer data strategies. Visit mParticle.com to learn more.